praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm stirred up for the things of God. I love the Lord. I love what he's doing. I love that I get to serve him. I love that I get to wake up in the morning and I know my direction. I know my direction is to do whatever he called me to do. And so what do? I seek the Lord. What do you have for me to do today, Lord? Whatever you have for me to do today, Lord, I'm going to do it. And that's where we need to be. That's how we need to be as Christians, not just ministers. That's how we need to be because we love the Lord and he loves us and he saved us. So when you get that gift, you want to make sure that you wake up every morning and you seek him. Lord, how can I be a blessing to you since you've loved me so dearly and so greatly? What can I do to serve you today? Well, praise the Lord. This message today is called Follow Him. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing high of theological degree. It's simple. It's the Word of God. It's easy to follow. And I believe if you hook up with it today, you are going to leave here changed and leave here with direction that you didn't have when you came in. And so I thank the Lord that he can do that. See, that's how he works. He uses a minister. He uses your pastor to get things over to your life that you didn't even know you needed necessarily. But when he puts it, when he directs it, when he has a message for you, it's from him. So you've got to be sure that when we're hearing the word of God in our local church, that we're hooking up and we're taking it in like God is having a conversation with each one of us individually. So praise the Lord, follow him. You know, this morning I woke up with this on my heart. You know, my husband and I, we seek the Lord. What does he want to be done in the services? Is it me that's going to minister today? Is it him? And this morning this was on my heart. So we believe that it was right and good that I would minister this morning. So take that as God trying to speak to you today and all of us. You know, this morning, I was thinking about a GPS. We had just had the privilege and the honor of getting to go down to Tennessee and sit in Reverend Randall Greer meetings, you know, this past week. We left after church. We came back before church yesterday, and we got to sit in 5 different services and be refreshed this week down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Well, we're not too familiar with Tennessee. You know, we've been there once before, but we're not familiar with the roads. We don't know the direction. We had to use a GPS. And so on this trip, we're using the GPS a lot, and I started to pick up some things and learn some things, and the Lord put them on my heart this morning, some things about how a GPS is really like how we're led by God. So we're going to talk about that today. You know, I believe that there are a lot of roads in this life, like in Tennessee, that you haven't traveled yet before. But you know, the Lord has traveled them, and his people have traveled them, and he does know which way to go, and he does know how to get there, and he does know the best way. So if we hook up with him, we're going to find out the best way for our lives as well. So I'm going to tell you a few things today. We're just going to have a conversation. I'm going to tell you a few things today that I learned about a GPS, okay? Number one. A GPS works when you keep it on and you follow it, right? If you constantly turn the GPS off, you can't follow it anymore. And we've made this mistake, okay? We have thought, well, we could save on data because the GPS is on our smartphone, right? We could save on data if we just turn the GPS for a little while. Instead, we were going to be on this road for like 20 or 30 miles or something. Let's just turn it off for a little while, and then we'll turn it back on when we think we've made it like maybe 20 or 30 miles. And so we've made the mistake of turning it off, and then we're like, oh, wait a minute, which way do we go? And then we turn it back on, and we're like, oh, we're off course. This is not where we were supposed to be. We should have probably kept it on and stayed following it the whole time. Well, that is so similar to the way Christians are with the word of God and the things of God. Sometimes we just think we can turn it off for a little while and then we'll get right back on course, but really you may be set way back and you didn't even know it. And you thought, oh, I'm fine. I got this on my own. I can do this on my own. I saw the direction once. I can figure it out from here. But we've got to be careful that we're not doing that with the word of God. We don't just hear the word of God one time and think, oh, we've got it all figured out. Now we know which way to go. We can just turn it off and follow our own way for a little while. And if we think we might need to check back, we'll go back to it. Oh no, you'll find yourself off course. And so we've had that with a word, with a GPS before. And God's word works when you keep it on in your life and you follow it. God's word works when you keep it on in your life and you follow it. Let's look at John 12:26 in the Amplified. I love the word of God. I love that the word of God is so simple that everybody can understand it. It's not, you know, before I was saved and I didn't ever read the Bible, I didn't really know how to read the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I wasn't raised as a Christian. I was raised atheist. We didn't even have a Bible in our home. So the first time I ever picked up a Bible, I thought, well, how do I read this? Well, I was so thankful to find out that the Word of God is so simple that even my daughter can read it and understand it. So we want to keep the Word simple. We want to keep it where it's at so we understand it. An instruction manual was meant to understand, to be understood. It was meant to tell us how to do things in a simple and understandable way. That's what this message is today. That's what the Word of God is. It's simple, it's understandable. John 12:26 in the Amplified. If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying. And wherever I am, there will be my servant also. There my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. He says, if anyone serves me, he's got to continue to follow me. You can't serve the Lord if you're not going to continue to follow. And what does it mean to continue to follow? To cleave, to hang on to steadfastly and conform wholly to my example. What's his example? It's the Word of God. We need to continue to hang on and grip the Word of God and not let go. That's what it means to continue to follow. When you turn off the GPS, you're not following it anymore. When you get yourself away from the Word of God, you're not following it anymore. The Word of God tells us if anyone wants to serve God, he's got to continue to follow, continue to follow, continue to follow, to be steadfast, to be fast, standing fast. Okay, that's what it means. Not let go of the Word of God. We have to choose to follow. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10. The Word of God is so simple. The Word of God tells us all of our direction, all of our answers. But if we turn the Word of God off, if we don't pay attention to it, if we think we've got it on our own, we think we figured it all out on our own, then we're not continuing in the Word and we're not being his disciples and we're not following him and his example. But when we keep ourselves plugged into the Word of God, then we know which way to go. A GPS only works if it's turned on and we follow it. God only works if we're stuck in there with him and we follow what he says to do. That's it. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. So why did God create us? Why are we his handiwork? Why are we his workmanship? Why did he recreate us in Christ? Why did he let us give us his son so we could be born again? Why? Why? Because that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, God didn't make every single thing in our life all set up and we're some puppet that needs to follow it. But God set us up on a good course. He set us up with good plans, with things that he planned ahead of us, ahead for us to walk in. He had plans for you before you even knew he existed. You know, I lived, 24 years of my life without serving the Lord, 23, 24 years of my life without serving the Lord. And I thought I had things figured out. I actually, by the world standards, I was doing great. I was working on my master's degree. I had straight A's. I had a job lined up. I had been working. I was a good member of society. I did everything I needed to do. I obeyed most laws, you know, maybe some speeding a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, I stopped at the stop signs. I didn't rob banks. I was doing pretty good, right, by the world standards. But I was lost. I was so lost. I had no idea what God really had for me. I had no idea that he had prepared ahead of time paths, good works for me to do. I had no idea when I was 20 years old in college or 22 years old in college. I had no idea that God really wanted me to stand behind a pulpit and minister his word and plant churches and serve him and help people and lay hands on the sick and they would recover. I didn't know any of that. I didn't know, but those were the good things he prepared ahead of time. How many good things does God have for you to do that you don't even know about yet? If we're thinking we're doing things on our own, if we've turned the GPS off, if we think we can do it on our own and make it on our own and be who we want to be and figure things out our own way, what are we missing out on? What are we missing out? And more importantly, what is everybody else missing out on? What about the people who've been healed in this ministry of cancer? What about the people whose marriages have been restored? What about the people who were once in poverty who now have all of their needs met because the word of God has been preached to them? What if I would have continued to walk in my own path? And I am not exalting myself. I am not glorifying me at all. What I'm saying is I could have stepped out of that plan and there are people's lives attached to it. I'm using myself as an example. The word of God tells us that a minister needs to be an example. And so I'm using myself as an example because you all see the fruit of this ministry. But 10, 12, 15 years ago, when I was doing things my own way, I was skipping out on that. If I would have kept going my own way, all of that wouldn't have happened. My husband and I wouldn't have been here. We would have been doing things differently, and all of you wouldn't have been here either. So I say that, it is sobering, but I say that to remind you that what about you? What does God have for you to be doing? Are we hooked up with his GPS? Are we hooked up to know what he's got for us to do? Or are we doing things our own way? We want to do things his way. He had plans ahead of time for us, good works. He's got good works for us to do. He's got a good life made ready for us, a good life. You know, when I was a little girl, you'll have to excuse me. I'm like preaching myself dry up here. You'll have to excuse me. I know this is not in pastoral etiquette 101, but I need a sip of water. When I was a little girl, no, that one was mine. This is yours. When I was a little girl, I used to take dance lessons. Now, I'm not advocating for that because, unfortunately, things have changed and a lot of little girls are dancing to music they shouldn't be dancing to. But when I was a little girl, I was a ballerina and I used to take dance class and it was very clean dancing. Nothing that you see on the music videos or anything like that. And yeah, no twerking, which don't even look that up if you don't know what it is, because it's not good and a little girl should never be doing it. But anyway, when I was a little girl, I used to take dance class, and the instructors, they would tell me, you know, what to do. They'd say, okay, move like this, put your arms in the air, you know, and they'd give me these instructions, and we'd have to go along with the music, and we'd have to go along with the other people in the class. And now, I didn't have to. They weren't over there forcing my body to do the moves. They weren't. They told me what to do, and if I was going to do it successfully, I had to copy them, and I had to do what they told me to do. See, it's the same thing with God. God tells us what to do. He's like our dance instructor. Not really. You get where I'm going with this. He tells us, this is the move to make. This is which way to go. And most of the time, in the still, small voice, he leads by peace. I go towards it, and if it's not of God, he'll stop you, and he'll tell you. In your heart, you'll know this is not good. My husband said last night in Corey, we know when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. We know. We know. We already know. Nobody needs to even tell you. You know. So the still small voice will lead you, but you have to decide, do I follow it or do I not? Do I do what God told me to do or do I not? If I want to dance successfully, then I'll do what he told me to do. If I don't want to, then I won't obey. Then I won't listen. But God will not come down and physically move your arms and legs and make you walk in his plan. You've got to decide. A GPS only works if we turn it on and we follow it. Let's look at John 14:6. I love the word of God. It's simple. It's simple. The word of God is so simple. You know, so many people wonder why their steps are failing. It's because they're doing their own thing. They're choosing their own way. They say, God, I don't want to do the way you showed me. I don't want to do it the way you told me to do. I want to do it my way. And then they fail and they blame God and say, God, how come you didn't help me? How come you led me the wrong way? No, God's not leading you the wrong way. God leads you the right way. But if you decide that you're not going to follow his leading, you're not going to follow his steps, then you will not have success. And you can't blame God for it. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We see a principle in here. We know that salvation comes by accepting the Lord Jesus, that salvation and eternal life only comes through Jesus. That's what he's talking about here. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one's coming to God. No one goes to heaven except through Jesus. But the principle here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the direction. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the true life. If we don't walk with him, if we turn him off, if we turn the word of God off, the word says that Jesus is the word. Then when we're talking about the word of God and we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the same thing. They're the same. They're one and the same. The word is Jesus. When we turn Jesus off, when we decide that we're going to walk opposite of him, opposite of his way, that means we're walking opposite of the truth and we're walking opposite of the life. If you want the life, you want the truth, you follow Jesus. Simple. So simple. Life, the direction, the blessing only comes through Jesus, and it only comes through his word. He's ordered our steps, but it's up to us to walk in them. It's up to us to keep the order. Let's look at Psalm 37. We're going to get to the book of Psalms here a little bit. There's such good stuff in the word of God. And I'll tell you, I woke up with this morning. This is all on my heart this morning. I believe it's for us. So don't tune me out. I know it's not anything fancy. I know it's not anything, you know, some hooting and hollering kind of a message. But it's the word of God and it's the truth. So don't shut me out. Pay attention and you'll be blessed. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord." Man is just referring to humankind. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." God delights in our way when we're walking out his ordered steps. Do you know that? It delights God. It glorifies him. It blesses him. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Yeah, if you make a mistake, that's okay. You won't be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." The righteous is the born-again believer, the blood-bought born-again believer, the one who endeavors to follow God. Doesn't mean they never fall, but they're the ones who endeavor to serve the Lord with all their heart. "I have never seen those righteous, the ones who endeavor to serve the Lord with all their heart. I've never seen them forsaken. Nor his descendants, God's children, begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore." You depart from evil. You do good. You choose to do good. You choose to walk away from evil and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. He does not forsake his saints. You say, "Well, I'm no saint." Well, yes, you are. You're born again, blood-bought believer. You're a saint in God's eyes. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're a saint in God's eyes. And he says that he never forsakes his saints. He never forsakes us. He has never left us nor forsaken us. "They are preserved forever." His saints are preserved forever. Oh, I could stop at every single word in this whole passage of scripture. That means if you've got sickness in your body, no, that's not what the word says. It says that his saints are preserved forever. I've got healing. I've got health. I'm preserved forever. Long life, he'll satisfy me. "But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." The mouth, listen to this, "The mouth of the righteous," that's you, that's me, everybody say, "I'm righteous." I'm righteous. "Not self-righteous, but righteous through God." The mouth of the righteous, that means my mouth, speaks wisdom. And his tongue, that means our tongues, my tongue, the righteous tongue, talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and listen to this, none of his steps shall slide. That means we won't slip in anything we do. We will not fail. You ever been down to the gorge on a kind of wet day or after it's rained a little bit, and you're walking down that hill, and maybe the mud causes you to slip a little bit, and you got to catch your bearings a little bit? No. God says we will never slip. Our steps will never slip as long as we are walking in his way, as long as we are living according to his way. But listen to this. It says the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. God does not come. He lives on the inside of me, but he does not speak for us. We have to do the speaking. We have to talk. So that means the word of God here says that the righteous, the children of God, those who are blood-bought, born-again believers, you choose to speak wisdom. You choose to speak justice. What's justice? Anything in the word of God. What's opposite of justice? Anything contrary to the word of God. We choose to speak. Our words matter. Our words matter. Our words are how we follow him. We can't follow the Lord just by sitting in church and hearing the word. We have to be doers of it. We have to be speakers of it. We have to confess it. A GPS only works if we turn it on and we follow it. The word only works if we turn it on and we follow it. We confess good things. We confess wisdom. We confess justice. Hallelujah. Let's skip down to Psalm 119. We're in the book of Psalms. Let's go to 119, verse 133. The word is so good. So simple. So simple to follow. It says, direct my steps by your word. Here it is again. Direct my steps by your word. Where are the directions? In the word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. See, when we direct, when we let our steps be directed by the word of God, what it leads to is sin and turmoil not being able to take over our life, not being able to dominate us. If we live opposite of the word of God, we're finding ourselves off course, and we're going to find ourselves in sin because we live in a fallen world. We don't live in a world that's all, you know, that's the Garden of Eden anymore. Adam and Eve handed over the keys to that world. We live in a world where we have to take dominion back. God won it for us by paying it for it through Jesus, but we have to walk in it. He says we need to walk in it. We need to be directed by the word and walk in it. And by walking in the word, that's how we have the dominion. That's how God gave us the dominion back. So the world that we live in, it doesn't look like the Garden of Eden anymore, but we still have authority, or we have authority again, I should say. We got it back. But we have to choose. So direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. That means I may do your word. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. See, if we all went to the Lord like this, Lord, I just want to know your way. I just want to know your word. I just want to know what you want me to do. I just want to know your direction for me. And help me, Lord. I'm not perfect on my own. I don't do things perfectly on my own, but help me to do the best I can do to follow you, Lord. Help me. Help me. Make your face shine upon me. Show me who you are. And the thing that's changed in this, we're no longer his servants. We're his children. We're his children once we've been born again and accepted Jesus. We're God's children at that point. It's like, you know, when Ezra goes to my husband or to me, and she goes and she says, can I just sit with you? Can I just sit with you? Let me ask you something. How come this? We're in church service all the time, and Ezra will say, what does that mean, Mom? What is that? Can you tell me what that means? Can you help me to understand that? And so what do? I help her to understand it. Sometimes it's after service. I'll explain it more thoroughly. But I help her to understand it because I'm a good parent. Well, God does the same thing. He helps us to understand it. Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know everything there is to know about being a Christian. Can you help me, God? Can you help me? Because I want to do it. I want to keep my face righteous, or my ways righteous. I want to keep your precepts. I want to do your word. Can you help me, Lord? Can you help me know what to do to be a good Christian? Can you help me? And he says, yes, I'll help you. The first way I'm going to help you is I'm going to give you a pastor. I'm going to give you a local church, and I'm going to give you somebody who's going to teach you the word of God. That's the first way I'm going to help you. Then I'm going to say, do the word that I show you. Do it. Be a doer of it. And then once you do it, you're going to know what to do. Once you take that first step out and you say, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to follow God. I'm just going to do what he said to do. Then he says, okay, now go this way. And it's by the still small voice leading on the inside of us that he leads us. 99% of the time, he's leading us by the still small voice. Let's look at James 1:22. I love the word of God. So good. If we choose to obey, if we choose to abide, if we choose to live in it, if we choose to make it of utmost importance, it works for us. GPS only works when it's turned on and we follow it. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So you aren't going to deceive anybody but yourself if you hear the word and don't do it. You can hear the word all you want. My husband has used this illustration. Many others have used this illustration, but just sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian. Just sitting in a church doesn't make you a doer of the word. You've got to choose to do the word that you hear. You may be hearing the word, but if you don't do it, you're deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This one will be blessed. You want to stay on course? You want to be blessed in what you do? You keep the GPS turned on? You keep yourself founded and planted and grounded in the word? Then you'll know which way to go. You keep it turned on, you follow it, you be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, and you will be blessed in all you do. This one will be blessed in what he does. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Let's look at the second thing I learned about a GPS, okay? A good GPS connected to the right signal will even tell you when there's a better way to turn because a new obstacle is coming to the way. When we were traveling to New York City, my husband and I had never driven to New York City. We went there for our anniversary. We'll never drive there again, probably, unless the Lord tells us to. We won't be driving there again because it was crazy. We'll take a train, probably, yeah. Well, anyway, so we're driving there, and all of a sudden, our GPS says, there's a better route for you. There's a better way to go. And we're like, okay. We had never even seen that before. I guess around here, there's not much messing around. You go whichever way you're supposed to go, and you know which way you're going. You know. But anyway, it said there's a better route or whatever it said. It said there's a new route. It'll save you this and this amount of time. And we said, okay. And so I look up, and on the GPS, it showed us this like red area that said, oh, there's been a car crash right here, and you don't want to go that way. We're like, really? This knows there's been a car crash and can tell us which way to go. So sure enough, we find out that let's take the better way, and we get off and we follow it. And now it was a pretty good way, but a lot of other GPSs must have been telling people to go that same way. So it did slow us down a little bit. I guess it didn't account for that part of it all. But anyway, it told us you get off and you go this different way. It's going to save you 10 minutes, or it's going to make you so you're not sitting in traffic, whatever it was. And so we followed it, and we were blessed. And so it saved us some time, and we avoided that accident. Well, the Holy Spirit is a much better GPS. The Holy Spirit, you'll be on course, you'll be doing, you know, going the direction he showed you to go, and all of a sudden there's a new way to go. There's a turn you better make. There's a change. There's something in you that says, oh, I better just do it this way. Let me slightly veer over here. And the Lord will deal with you, and he'll correct you, and you don't know that there's an accident waiting ahead. You don't know that there's turmoil ahead. You don't know that by going down this path, you discover the spouse you're going to marry, or by going down this path, you find that job you've been believing for. When you thought, well, let me just go this way. See, a GPS, a smart GPS, a good GPS, it'll even help you avoid trouble. Well, the Holy Spirit is the best GPS, and he will help us avoid trouble. Let's look at John 16:13. If we keep in tune by going to church, by listening to the word of God, by being in the word, by being in prayer, he'll keep us on course, and he'll help us to avoid trouble. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit, when you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're obeying the word, you're keeping your path the way God intended you to be. You're praying, you're in prayer, you're in church, you're in the word. He will tell you things to come. He will tell you, you know, if you make this decision, it's going to work out better for you. He may even show you what investment to make. He may even show you where to buy a house. He may even show you what car to buy. You know, we years ago, when before we started hooking up with the Lord and doing things the right way, we made a big mess of our finances, a big mess of it, doing things our own way. We thought, well, God will just cover our mistakes. Well, God will cover some of our mistakes, but we've got to work with God. We don't just screw up and do whatever we want to do, make a big mess and have God come in and clean it up. No, we work with him. But we had made a mess of our finances. And we decided and we endeavored to get on God's plan with our finances and do things his way. And so we started going down that path, but we were still spending like $1.25 for every dollar we made, even after we were starting to get on course. And well, that doesn't work very well, does it? And we had a family of five, and we had kids to feed, and we had things we needed to do. And the Lord led my husband to a specific kind of car. It was a brand new car right off of the lot. Brand new car. We never afforded a brand new car before that. Never. We never even thought brand new car was in our realm of, you know, possibility. naturally speaking. Well, so the Lord led my husband to this brand new car. We had never even heard of this kind of car. In fact, I didn't even really like the car. It blessed me because of it was what the Lord had for us. But anyway, long story short, we followed the leading of the Lord. We got this car. It saved us $150 a month. And we were in a brand new car that had all of its repairs covered. I was driving a broken down vehicle that needed hundreds of dollars of repairs every couple of months and cost me $150 more a month to drive. But the Lord led us into this car that would bless us and it would change our financial situation around to the point where we were no longer living above our means. We had it covered. And then the Lord just kind of continued to lead us into right decisions and things that we would do that would clean up some of the mess that we had made. And it took time. But when we followed God, that mess was cleaned up. See, that's how the Holy Spirit will lead. He'll show you things to come. He'll show you which way to go to help you clean up a mess. Maybe you made the mess, but he'll help you clean it up. It may take time, but he'll show you which way to go. He'll show you things to come. And the reason he can do that is because he's not even speaking on his own authority. The Holy Spirit is a direct connection to our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit comes to us, shows us how to follow God, what God has for us. He'll tell us. He's a direct connection. Let's look at this in the Amplified. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. No, God does not make you a psychic, and psychics are not of God, okay? God does not, that's not how God talks to you. He doesn't communicate by somebody trying to reach the spiritual realm. God talks to you through your born-again spirit on the inside of you, but he will show you things to come. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you directions. He'll show you where you need to be. He'll show you where you need to go to church. You may wake up, and he'll have it on your heart. Go to this church. And you're like, why would I go there? I never thought about going there. I don't know anybody there. I don't know anything about it. But the Lord will put it on your heart. Show up. Go there. Just go. See what I have for you. You may not even know it's God leading you. But you don't. Most of the time, we don't end up in a Bible-teaching church because the devil put us there. Most of the time, we don't end up in a Bible-teaching church because we chose to be there. The Lord will put it on your heart. And we have to decide, do we obey or not? Do we follow him or not? But he'll show you things to come. He'll help you with things in your future. Yes, God, this is what I wrote down. God knows, and therefore the Holy Spirit knows, what things might try to get in your way in the future. He knows if there's trouble ahead. He knows how to get you beyond the trouble. He wants you to get past that trouble. But many Christians aren't interested in following his way. God, this is what was on my heart this morning. He wants you past that trouble. He wants you to get around that obstacle. He wants you to have the faster course to the good place that you're trying to go, that he's trying to bring you. But many Christians aren't interested in following his way. You say, well, how could you be a Christian not interested in following? Oh, there's plenty. There's plenty. And we need to make sure that we choose to be the Christians who are interested, who do want to follow his way. We choose. We choose. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified. The word is good, isn't it? The word is good. The word is good. The Holy Spirit, like a good GPS, will keep you out of trouble if you listen. If you listen, got to be turned on, you got to follow, but then you've got to follow when he leads you a different way, when he leads you the right way, when he has you go around something. We don't like to go around things, do we? We always want the fastest way. We don't like to go around. If God says, no, I don't have that for you yet, you got to wait a little while. How many of you may be waiting for a spouse? And I can speak about this because we have a 20-year-old son who's interested in being married someday, who wants a wife, who wants a good, godly wife. You know, and he could think, I'm ready. I want a wife right now. But the Lord has to bring the right one to pass. The Lord has to bring the right one. He's got to wait for God. He could go the fast way. He could find himself a spouse. He's a good-looking guy. He could go out. He could find a girl today. Don't you try. No. He's like a mini replica of my husband. Well, you're talking about you because he looks just like you. You should see the pictures of my husband this age. Anyway. anyway, he could do things his way. He could take the fast track, the way the world would do things. He could go and he could look for physical attraction, and he could just go find somebody to be with. And he could find somebody. We could do that. Any of us could do that. You can go find somebody. But God may lead you around the tree before you get to the other side. God may lead you the longer path. Well, why? Because he's got something in it for you to learn. He's got something for you to get along that way. See, we could do things the fast way, or we could do things God's way. We want to make sure that we're following him. Where was I here? Galatians 5:25. Actually, let's go up. Sorry, John 8:12. I didn't read any of these. John 8:12. Sorry. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Think about when you are in darkness. We live out in the country now. We used to live in the city of Jamestown, and our neighbors and our street lights and everything was right there, and everything was always lit up. Nothing was really ever dark, okay? You could have the lights off, but it was never really dark. When we moved up here to Mayville and we moved to the country, the first night I was like, whoa, it's dark. I have never seen darkness like this. I can't even see my hand in the night if everything's turned off. See, that's what it is in life without the Word of God, without the light of the Word of God. It's in darkness, and you're stumbling upon things, and you're banging into walls, and you're really unsure of where to go, and it's a little bit uneasy, isn't it? In the pitch black, you're a little uneasy. You don't know where to go. You're stumbling on things. But the Word says that the light, Jesus is the light, the Word is the light. And so if we follow the light, if we follow the Word, we don't have to walk in that darkness. So we know which way to go. I didn't want to skip that scripture because it was so good. All right. Let's go to Galatians 5:25 now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word is good. Praise the Lord. This is in the Amplified. I really like the Amplified Bible because it amplifies. It brings some things out that we maybe didn't get by just reading it without stopping and taking a deeper look. See, the Amplified Bible is not... it's not a Bible that isn't true. It's just, it is the Word of God. It's a direct translation with some parentheses that adds what the real meaning in the original language was. See, we have to be careful that we don't think it's, anti-God to read a different version of Scripture, because it'll help us to understand it. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. So if we are saved, if we're born again, if we have the Holy Spirit, we have our life in God. So let's go forward walking in line, walking according to his path, our conduct keeping in line with the Word of God. See, if we don't, we'll miss out. If we don't, we're not going to go where he wants us to go. So a GPS only works if it's turned on and we follow it. And a good GPS will steer us away from trouble if we let it. Let's look at the third thing. Something else I learned about GPSs is that if you don't have a strong signal, if you're not close to its satellites and connected and your signal's weak, it can take you off course. So it can be very problematic. We were driving back from Tennessee and we were in Kentucky. I said, let's go through Kentucky. Never been through Kentucky. Let's just drive through Kentucky and see what Kentucky looks like. And so it added maybe an hour onto our trip, but we got to see some cool stuff in Kentucky. A lot of not really cool stuff in Kentucky, though. I was like, whoa, this is Kentucky. But anyway, no, it was neat to see. It was neat. But anyway, we got to see this bridge that was made of sandstone. It was amazing. It was like this natural bridge. It was shaped like a real bridge. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it or seen it, but it was amazing. It was like a real bridge that you could walk on and walk across, but it was all made of sandstone that nature had actually created. It wasn't even something man-made. It was amazing. You have to look it up, natural bridge in Kentucky. But anyway, so we're driving through Kentucky, and we're trying to find this natural bridge, and all of a sudden, my husband's like, something's going on with this GPS. It's not working. And all of a sudden, we're like, here's the dot that we are, and all the roads are like over here. And we're like, I was like, the signal is really weak right here. We just don't know where to go. So I'm like, I don't know. I guess we have to pick a road, right? So we just pick a road because the signal's not picking up anything. The signal is weak. We're not near the satellites or whatever it is that make the signal strong. So we pick a road. And we start going down it, and all of a sudden, okay, the connection picks back up a little bit, and we're like, this is not the road we're supposed to be on. Actually, this isn't even the direction we're supposed to be going. We're going up. We're supposed to be going over. So what do we have to do? We have to turn it around. We have to get on the road to go where we need to go. But the point in that, what the Lord showed me, is if we're not close to our connection, if we're not close to our signal, if we're not keeping close and connected to the signal and keeping the signal strong, we're not going to know where to go. We're going to be off course. And you could end up way far off course and not even know it. So you say, what's your signal? Well, my signal is the Lord dealing with me through my pastor, through my local church. You know, and I'm not saying this to hurt anybody's feelings or make anybody mad at me. Well, praise the Lord, it's the Lord. But you know, do you know on any given Sunday in the month of July and August, we could have one-third of or one-half of our church gone because they're doing something else with the nice weather? And I'm not saying that to be mean. And if it convicts you, well, it convicts you. But the Lord will deliver messages. He's got a signal for you to hook up with. He's got messages for you. He's got the word of life for you. He's got direction for you. But a lot of times people are too busy to want to be close to that signal. So we need to be really careful. And I'm not saying you can't take vacations. Vacations are good. They're right and good. It's good to be refreshed. But if we're spending more time out of church than in church, you're getting far away from that signal. And you may be going up, and you're supposed to be going over. And you don't even know it till you're way out in Guam somewhere, and you don't even know you're not even in Kentucky anymore, right? Then you'd probably have a signal if you weren't in Kentucky. But that signal still is far away from where God really had for you to go. You know what I'm saying? So we need to be careful. We need to be careful not to put the things of the world above the things of God. We want to stay connected to the signal. We want to stay connected to the path, to the plan. It's important. It's so important. Imagine how far off you can get. You know, what was it? A plane? If a plane is going like 1 degree off, a plane is supposed to go like this, and all of a sudden, what, in New York? Yeah, if a plane takes off from New York and it's 1 degree off course and it's going and going and going, the further it goes, look at the further away it goes from the destination. We need to be careful because the further away we go from the signal, the further away we get away from church. You know, it's the devil makes it really easy. Once you've missed church this week, oh, you can miss this week. Once you've missed 2 weeks, oh, you can miss again. And pretty soon, you haven't been to church in 6 months, and you don't even know how to follow God anymore. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I don't say it because I'm a pastor. I say it because I'm a Christian and because I know it. And I know it from living it. You know, before I knew better, before I knew that I really needed to get in the Word and get in church as often as possible, before I knew that, I was just there, you know, I would miss 2 weeks in a row and not think anything of it. But I noticed in my spirit, oh man, I'm not feeling right. It's off. I don't know really which way to go. Something's off here. We need to be careful to stay connected. Joshua 24, verse 15, and I want to read this in the NIV version. And I don't typically read from the NIV because it's not a direct translation. So I don't suggest it as your primary Bible, but I do think that this is a really great translation of this. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now I know this is Old Testament, but this really spoke to me this morning. You know, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if serving the Lord doesn't seem good to you, then you go serve whoever you want to serve. And now we're not looking at false gods, you know, of the Amorites or beyond the Euphrates, but we do have a lot of false gods in this world. We do have a lot of opportunity to serve other gods over our Lord God the Father. We have a lot of opportunities to serve somebody else and put something else above the Lord. If we're serving our job, if our job and our income is more important and we'll skip church because work wants us to work every Sunday, listen, we've had people who started to have their lives changed around, and then all of a sudden they get a job, they've been believing for a good job, and they get a job and it's going to pay them, it's going to help them pay their bills, but it takes them out of church on Sunday mornings. That's not of God. That's serving a God other than the Heavenly Father. You know, if recreation is great. We love recreation. I enjoy recreation. I enjoy time with my family. I enjoy going out and doing things I like to do. But if recreation keeps you out of church because you'd rather be playing softball or you'd rather be at that football game or you'd rather be at that amusement park or at that beach or on the boat or whatever it is than serving the Lord, that's dangerous. That's serving another god. And so this is what the Lord is saying. Or what Joshua's saying to the Israelites. He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if it's so undesirable to you, then you choose who you want to serve. But as for me and my household, as for me in this church, as for us, we're going to serve the Lord. We'll be here. You want to go serve somebody else? You want to go serve another god? Well, we'll be here serving the one true living God. You choose. You decide if you want to follow God. But don't say, I want to follow God, and then refuse to follow God. You choose. If you want to follow God, you follow God. Man has free will. Man has free will. He's got free moral agency to follow anybody he wants to follow. If you want to follow God, you follow God. If you don't want to follow God, don't even pretend you want to follow God. Just follow who you want to follow. But if you want to follow God, then actually step in and follow him. GPS only works if we turn it on and we follow it. Only works if we do it. Deuteronomy 30:19. I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there because we're staying in Joshua. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. You know, the Israelites, just like us, we have decisions to make every single day. We've got a decision to make. You could trust the one true living God, or you could trust the things that suit your lifestyle, the things that suit the culture, the things that suit your convenience. You can choose God, who's not always convenient, who's not going with culture, who's not the same as the world. You could choose God or you can choose the other way, but it's up to you. It's up to you. I put before you, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life that both you and your descendants may live. You know your children, moms and dads, are affected by what you choose to do. Your children are affected by whether or not you choose to serve the Lord. If you put God first, your children will learn to put God first. If you don't put God first, your children won't learn to put God first. We need to choose death and life. It's up to us. What our descendants have, what our children have, it's up to us. Praise the Lord. You know, we're living in a time, I wrote this down, we're living in a time where people are serving false gods. People are forsaking the truth for what is common to man. People are accepting the world over the word of God. We're living in a time where we need to choose. Do we forsake the one true living God and go with the culture of the world, or do we endeavor to go on with God? You choose. If serving God is undesirable, let it be undesirable. But if serving God is where you want to be, then you choose. Step all in and you choose. Keep the GPS on. Follow it. You choose. Joshua 24:16. So the people answered and said, so the Israelites answered, they were convicted. Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. The Israelites, they thought about it. They said, man, God's the one who delivered us. God's the one who broke that bondage. God's the one who did miracles, signs, and wonders. God's the one who changed our path. God's the one who made a way of escape. God's the one. We're going to serve him. We're going to choose him. See, the world will give you plenty of opportunities to choose the world over God. But you need to constantly remind yourself, like these Israelites who said, wait a minute, God's the one. We want to serve the real God, the one who really delivered us, the one who really broke the bondage. But if we aren't careful, we're just going to go on with our neighbors and go on with the way the world is going. You know, there are so many churches right now that are not even following the word of God anymore. They're too worried about following the cultural trends. They're doing everything the world shows them to do. They're being relevant to the world. They're copying what the world says to do. We want to do what God says to do. We want to serve the one true living God. We don't want to go with the false gods of the world. We want to serve the one true living God. We want to be like the Israelites. Israelites. They said, no other God has shown us these miracles. No other God has done for us what our God has done. No other God. Nothing else gives us the freedom like the word of God. Nothing else gives us true life like the word of God. This is applicable right now to your life. It's the Old Testament, but it's applicable right now to your life. Right now in your heart, you need to check your heart right now, like I do too. I need to do it too. Right now in your own heart, you need to say, am I serving God above all else? Am I focused on him above all else? And if I'm not, then how? Lord, how do I go? How do I go the right way? Lord, help me. I'm hooked up to your plan. I want to do what you have for me to do. Let's look at Matthew 6:24. I love the word of God, so good, praise him. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, that means any student, any follower of him, so he's talking to you as well, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You say, well, what is taking up my cross? Taking up your own cross, taking up your own a cross to follow Jesus is the same as you saying, I lay down my own life, my own desires, my own wants. I lay them down for what you have for me to do. And now people hear that, and you may be hearing that and thinking, well, I don't want to, I want what I want in life. I want what I want. Well, you decide. If serving God is undesirable, you decide. But God says, you lay down your own life. You take up your cross and you follow me. And you know, he's got a better plan. He's got a better way. He's got things you never knew. When I was going to college and I was working on my master's degree and I was going to be a teacher, which I am a teacher, but I was going to move all the way to Chicago. I had a job waiting for me. I was lost as lost can be. I was going to hell. Didn't even know it. I was living in a relationship that was hell on earth. Thought I had to be there. Thought I was stuck there. And so I'm headed to Chicago, and all of a sudden, I meet this man who also wasn't living right, who God blessed and put us together when neither one of us was serving him, and put us together so that we could accomplish his work together. But if we would not have laid down our own plans, if I would have said, well, Chicago seems so much more interesting than staying here in Jamestown. I've been working and working and working this whole time towards this. I should just move and I should just go there. I mean, this is what I want after all. This is what I've been working for. This is what my goal in life has been. If we don't lay down our cross and follow him, then we're going to find ourselves in a whole mess of trouble. I could have been over in Chicago going to hell, on my way to hell, and I don't believe my path was leading me to God if God wouldn't have intervened. I could have been over there doing my own thing, and I would have been lost, and I would have maybe thought I was having things my way and the desirable things, but it wouldn't have been what I really wanted in life. I am so happy and so blessed in this life. I cannot tell you how much in love I am with all that God is doing in my life and all that God wants to do through me. It's not easy. It's not easy to stand up here. It's not easy to sacrifice, but it's something that I know the Lord has for me to do, and I do it happily. I do it happily because I know that he leads us to good things. And see, that's what it's talking about. Take up your own cross. Take up your own cross and follow him. Deny yourself. Just deny yourself. Say, God, I put myself last. I put you first. And you just wait and see where he brings you. You just wait and see how much better life is that you didn't even know it could be that good. You just wait and see. He created you, by the way. He created you. He knows more about you than you do. You know all about your flesh. You know about your mind. But he created you. He is the one who should lead you. He is the one who will bring you to the good things he predestined, he prearranged for you to have. Yeah, he created you. So why don't you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him, and wait to see where he brings you. So taking up your cross, it means follow him and his word, not just when it's easy, not just when it's convenient, not just when it's popular, regardless of price, regardless of sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's what I was talking about, you know. When you sacrifice for God, you're going to find a life you didn't even know was possible. Didn't even know it was possible. It's awesome. Didn't even know it was possible. And then verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That's what I was going to have. I was going to have this great job in a brand new school and in an exciting city with art all around and awesome things, naturally speaking, that maybe I would have been drawn to naturally. But I would have been giving up my soul to live this life after the world and never following God. In the Amplified, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God? Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? What would I give up? What would I give in exchange to have this blessed life? I'll tell you what, I'd give everything. I would give everything. Everything I ever wanted, everything I've ever strived after, everything. I would give it all to be able to walk this blessed life. I'd give it all. And I don't just say that because I'm up here behind a pulpit. I say it because God has proven himself faithful. Oh, Lord, you've proven yourself faithful over and over again. You have proven yourself faithful over and over again. I'd give it all. But what men would give up the blessed plan of the kingdom of God for what the world has to offer? So many, so many. And we don't want to be those. We want to be the ones following his blessed plan. What are we willing to exchange for his blessed plan? What are we willing? So let's just recap here. Number one, we want to acknowledge, first of all, that God's way is always better than what we could come up with. His way is always better. It's better than what those around us can come up with. It's higher. It's greater. He's higher. He's greater. His way is always better. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. We're getting close to wrapping up here. Listen, this is just one of those messages. It's a heart check. It's a heart check. You know, we can be faithful and we can serve God and we can get, something comes along and it gets us off course. And unfortunately, a lot of times summer is the thing that likes to get people off course, because summer comes along and there's so much temptation to go and do different things, and there's so much temptation. And when we're not careful, we're away from the signal. We're away from the signal, and we were on course all fall, all winter, all spring. Then summer came along and all of a sudden we're off course. We want to make sure we stay on course. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. My ways are higher, God says. I know what I'm doing. I tell you, I know what I'm doing, God says. I know my plans. I know what I'm doing. I know, just as water comes down and it waters the seeds and it produces life, I know that my word and what I've given you and what I'm doing in your life, I know what I send to you. It doesn't return to me void. I know it. Just as that bud is growing, your life will grow. Your life will be blessed. Your life will flourish as it's attached to my plan. It shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God said, I will do what I said I would do. My word is not going to return to me void. And that means his word in your mouth will not return void. That means his word in your mouth, you speaking and confessing the word of God, will change things in your life. Just like that rain from heaven creates buds and plants and they flourish, our words, the word of God in our mouth, will create life in an area of our life that we didn't even know was dead. You could have thought my life is fine. You could have thought I'm doing things fine. My finances are fine. I'm working. I'm being a productive member of society. No, you don't even know what your life could look like if you would just start speaking his word. If you would just start doing things his way, it will accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's the word of God. So the first thing, God's way is always better. And the second thing, we have to know that his way is not automatic. We either connect to his direction or we don't. Nobody forces you to follow a GPS. We could have had the GPS turned on. It could have said, go straight on. And we could have turned left. and we wouldn't have been following it. It wasn't because it wasn't on. It wasn't because it wasn't telling us what to do. It was because we chose to go a different way. We chose to ignore it. We need to choose. It's up to us. Nobody forces you to follow GPS. Nobody forces you to do those dance moves. Nobody forces you. Nobody forced you to come to church. Nobody forced you to open your Bible. Nobody forced you to talk to God. But we need to choose. We need to choose. Death and life, right there, up to us. What do we choose? Let's look at Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. Nobody forces you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. If anybody hears my voice and then they open the door, I'll come in. If you hear God speaking to you today, if you say, I'll let him in. I'm letting him in. God comes right in. But if you say, nah, I don't want any of that. I don't want God. I don't want any of that. Then he won't come because we have free will and God's a perfect gentleman. We have to choose. A GPS only works when it's turned on and we follow it. And finally, number three, if we don't make sure to keep updated, if we don't make sure to keep connected, if we don't make sure we can pick up the signal, we'll be off course and it will be our own fault. Glory to God. And this is not to come down on anybody. This message is just as much for me as it is for any of you. God said this morning, I woke up, this was on my heart. If you know me, I'm a teacher through and through. If you've ever seen me in the pulpit before, I've spent weeks and weeks studying on a topic. This was all downloaded to my spirit this morning for this service this morning. And see, the Lord had something to get over to us. Are we going to listen or are we going to ignore it? We want to make sure that we're hooked up with the Word of God. We are following God's GPS. We're following His Word of God. It'll always lead us in good things. Always. You tell the devil, no, your way is not better. Your way is not taking me to the blessed plan. God's way, God's word, God's will takes me to the blessed plan every single time.
Just as she was talking about downloading that message this morning, I just want to, we're just going to be real here for a minute, all right? I'm just going to share with you my own, because I was encouraged by this message greatly. But I woke up this morning with the intent that I was going to be preaching, although I didn't have a message. And I was frustrated, and I allowed the frustration to kind of get the better of me this morning because that message wasn't coming. And isn't it interesting how just by following the Lord, see, if we had just been okay with her going, or if I had just been okay with her going in that, of course I was, but you know what I mean? I was at the point where I didn't even want to come to church. So see, this is exactly what we're talking, or what we talk about, what we preach around here, is that it's important to be spirit-led. It's important to follow God because God will deliver something. And this message, this is an incredible message. I'm so thankful for it. Praise God for it. But, you know, I just wanted to share that with you how, you know, anybody can miss it. But that's why it's important to stay connected and stay up on everything. Praise the Lord.
God is so good, isn't he? You know, we're real around here. We're real. We all walk it out. We all walk the plan out. We all have to do the will of God. Nobody's exempt from it. It's not a pastor standing up behind a pulpit pretending to be high and mighty. You know, I'm not saying that happens other places, but it definitely doesn't happen here. We're real. We can miss it. And we have to be okay with following God no matter what. We have to be okay with following God no matter what. No matter the sacrifice, no matter the discomfort on the flesh, we follow God. And we're always walking out that blessed plan. Well, I believe the word has accomplished what it was intended to accomplish today, and I thank the Lord for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we get to hear your word. We get to hear it and be doers of it. I thank you, Lord, that your word never returns to us void, and it never returns to you void, that your word always accomplishes what it meant to accomplish. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you, Lord. Your word and your way is always the best way to go. We're so thankful that we get to follow you. We're so thankful for your son, Jesus, that you sent him so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Father. We praise you. And if you're sitting here today and you say, oh, I've never accepted Jesus. You know, I was like you, maybe. I was an atheist and I've never read the Bible and I've never been in church and I've never served the Lord, but something's telling me that I needed to find out more about him. If that's you, that's who I was. If that's you and you've never accepted Jesus and you know, maybe you have heard about Jesus, but you've never made him the Lord of your own life. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus today and you want to accept the gift that God so freely gave us, eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, if you would like to do that today and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, go ahead and raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up front. I thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. I thank you, Father. Is there anybody else who says, I've never accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior? I maybe have been in church my whole life. I maybe know about the Bible. I just never come to Him personally. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Father. And I'm going to give another invitation. Maybe you have accepted Jesus. Maybe you have been saved. Maybe you have been a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian your whole life, but you've not been walking with Jesus. You've walked away. You've been living for yourself and in this world without serving Him. And you'd like to say, today I draw a line in the sand. I'm going over it. I'm living for the Lord, and I'm not going back. And you'd like to rededicate your life today. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. I thank you, Father. I don't see any hands. Thank you, Lord. Well, I believe that there's a few people who would like to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to ask you to pray this with me, even if you didn't raise your hand. But if you did raise your hand, pray this and believe it with your whole heart, and you will be saved. Everybody pray this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. I believe that He came and died on the cross and rose again so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. Praise you and worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.